Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Bree, Aki, and Jacob are here. How are you doing?
Better.
Okay enough.
Yeah. You know, we're here. It's Thursday. It's 9 p.m. I'm sounding sexy, you know.
I think Jacob is the most okay out of all of this, out of all of us, and I don't know how to feel about that. That's weird.
It is. I feel like he's being the positive one tonight.
Yeah.
Isn't that a nice change?
I don't know.
I don't. Probably not. No. So, I mean, if it becomes the Jacob show, then like on the plus side, the list for worst episodes of this podcast, like we've already got a prime candidate for the top 10, the one where Jacob talked way too much, which technically is every episode I'm on. They're all tied for first.
Not all of them. You're not on every episode.
Wait, no. All the ones I'm on, they're all tied for first.
Fair.
Anything fun happen this week?
Well, I can start off with something.
Please do.
So, there is a video game store in there. Well, actually, there's multiple. It's a small chain that's local to us called Just Press Play. It's a video game store, but they also sell some arcade machines, like video game merch, and, you know, peripherals, all that kind of stuff. And they're going to be building this like huge entertainment center here in Lancaster County that I think is supposed to open next year, I think. And they're consolidating a couple of the stores. I don't fully understand what the heck they're doing. I don't know if this is actually going to be a good business idea, but they just had a huge warehouse sale and of like all this like video game merch and all this other kind of stuff. And I was too broke, so obviously I didn't go, but then I found out my brother did. And I was like, oh shit. Like, you know, cause I mean, they've got like, they had like, they were showing photos online. Like they had records and they had statues and like, they had all these games and like controllers. And I was like, oh, what'd you pick up? And he's like, well, I upgraded my movie collection. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. What'd you get?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I got Cars on Blu-ray. And I'm like, Cars.
Okay, then.
Cars, like the Pixar movie. Like, he's like, yeah, I had it on DVD. Now it's on Blu-ray. And I'm just like, it's Steelbook at least, right? No, it's a regular one. It was shrink-wrapped. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, this isn't even like one of their better movies. Like,
that hurts my soul.
He walked into a freaking warehouse full of all this video game merch, and like, what does he walk out with? He walks Cars. Out with Cars.
Jesus Christ.
Hold on. Cars, The Incredibles, and it was one other Disney Pixar film, and I'm just like, how?
Like, I mean, to be fair, Miss Incredible has fantastic proportions, so I get that.
I just, God, it like, I'm just like, of all the stuff that like, you know, there's all this like special, like hard to find stuff. He walks out there with a normal Blu-ray of Cars. And then I'm like, all right, well, did you get me anything for Christmas? Oh no, I didn't know what you'd want. And I'm like, I swear to God, I'm going to punch you in the taint. Like,
right in the throat. Yo, right in the throat. It hurts
so hard
more.
It goes from taint to throat.
Wow.
Jeez.
Yep. Thimber is talking about their love for Cars. Cars 2, in my opinion, is the worst Pixar movie out of all of them.
I think that's generally held as the worst, just period.
Well, some people think The Good Dinosaur is the worst. I don't think The Good Dinosaur is the worst. I just think it's like It's like 8 half-baked ideas that were never fully fleshed out, but they realized they got too far in, you know?
Fair.
I like Cars 3 better than the original.
Mm.
And see, yes,
any of them.
Still never seen it.
It's, yeah, you can skip it. It's really there just to, like, make merchandise. Like, honestly, anytime Pixar needs to, like, fund a new movie that they don't think is going to be, like, you know, box office smash, they're like, all right, let's make some more car shit.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, fair. I mean, kids love cars, so.
Yeah. See,
it's such a weird movie to be proud of owning.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
Yeah, I don't, like, I was just absolutely dumbfounded, because the thing is, like, I know what's in their DVD section before, like, I've gone through it, like, Cars.
Guys, I just went to, like, this really rare warehouse emporium full of these hard-to-find movies. I got Waiting on DVD. It was insane. It was like a dollar and a quarter.
I've never heard of that.
Waiting?
Waiting?
You've never heard of Waiting?
Yeah.
Oh my God. You need
to educate yourself.
We used to play...
okay.
What's up? Yeah, Ryan TGI Reynolds. TGI
Friday.
What's up?
TGI Fridays is filing for bankruptcy, closing all their stores.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, because the thing is that customers are spending more, but there's less customers. Because it's like, it's all old people who appreciate the fact that TGI Fridays has not, like, changed at all in, like, 30 years.
I don't know what that actually even is.
You've never been to a TGI Fridays?
No.
Have you been to an Applebee's?
No.
You know what restaurants are?
Yes. I know what an Applebee's is, I think. I've just never been to one.
All right, hold on.
Any here.
All right, Aki, what do you think, and without looking online, tell me what you think Applebee's is.
I think it's a sit-down restaurant where you order burgers.
Whoa. Okay, so what makes it theoretically special?
I have no idea.
It's full of things that white people like. That's Applebee's. So is TGI Fridays. Toast. So they serve toast. Probably. And yeah, it's just like, it's a sit down. It's kind of like a Friendly's with more atmosphere. If you've ever been, tell me you've been to a Friendly's.
I've never even heard of that one. That doesn't exist.
That might be regional.
Yeah.
Friendly's might just be like a Northeast kind of thing.
Okay. How about Howard Johnson?
They're gone anyway.
Nope.
No, we've got two Friendly's around here.
Yeah, I think they're closing some of the Friendly's amazing. Too.
All of our Friendly's are gone. All our Bonanzas are gone.
I don't know that one either.
It was a steakhouse buffet.
Yeah, it was actually started by one of the guys on Bonanza.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Let's see. All right. But yeah, going back to Waiting, back when I was in college, we actually used to play the penis showing game.
So let's get to video game news, because we're not going to talk about showing our dicks on the show.
Why not?
Because there's kids games on it.
Ow. Dang it.
And you should know that. You're the one reviewing them, I think, aren't you?
Maybe. Probably.
That and exposing yourself to other people is kind of, I don't know, you got to be in the right company.
Well, yeah, obviously. It was roommates. Like, we all agreed to it, and then we'd kick each other in the butt for looking at each other's junk. Okay. I didn't say we were mature.
Yeah, I know.
I will never understand men. I will never understand men, ever.
So Nintendo confirmed the Switch successor will play Switch games and have Nintendo Switch Online available.
I kind of expected that to happen.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that, too.
Yeah, and their stock price went up when they confirmed it, so that's good to hear.
So it'll take old Switch cartridges.
Maybe. Play Switch hardware, or Switch software. We don't know if it'll have a slot
port for Switch
games, or if it'll be digital only. We'll find out.
Oh, boy.
But it's compatible.
Okay.
bunch of physical Switch games, or aren't
there's
most of them digital?
Thousands of physical Switch games, so I would expect the Switch successor to have a physical slot, but I don't know if it'll be the same cartridge as the Switch.
Hopefully it is. That'd be nice.
We'll find out.
Okay. I mean, that's a nice announcement, but I mean, they still don't think we're going to actually see it until 2025, right?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Fair.
Game Pass, a couple of games coming to Game Pass. 3 are coming to Ultimate. November 5th, Metal Slug Tactics. November 7th, Goat Sim Remastered. November 19th, Flight Sim.
Ooh, Goat Sim.
Which I'm kind of curious about Flight Sim, because I thought that was already on Game Pass.
Flight Sim 2024.
Is that a completely different game?
Yes, it's a brand new game.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Huh. Wait, so does that mean that they, did they delist the old version of Flight Sim?
I don't think they delisted it, but they're not going to support it anymore. They're going to focus on the new one.
Oh, dang. I did not see that coming.
Dude, they announced this like 2 years ago.
And we talked about it
sometime
last month. We've
talked about it many times. We've talked about all the different activities that are in the game.
Like, episodes.
Like you could fly crop dusting planes and hot air balloons.
I'll crop dust you.
I know you would.
And you can probably crash them very effectively into the ground because you're not very good at the game.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a fine pilot. I drive my wife nuts with all the crap I pull in those games.
You play it with, I know there's like a realistic and unrealistic play ability to play or something like that, where you actually have to do all the proper stuff in one and the other, I guess you just take off like you do in any other game. Are you good at the actual realistic one where you have to flip all the buttons and all that other bullshit?
So she's never seen me play that kind of stuff, but like late 90s, I used to play, I used to play Flight Simulator. I played Wing Commander, X-Wing, and I also had a couple of Chuck Yeager games. Like, I used to play a lot of that kind of stuff. I actually thought about going into the Air Force, but my dad and I both suffered from the same issue. We got glasses, so.
That would
no
do
dice.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
Weird side story. I've been flown by someone who learned to fly by Chuck Yeager. Like, that's a thing. He's a bush pilot in Guyana. And he took all the National Geographic tours out to the locations that we were going to in Kuiper Falls. And yeah, he totally learned to fly from Chuck Yeager. How cool is that?
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. Anyway.
I don't even know where we were. Games coming to Game Pass Standard. 4 games hit Standard on the 6th. Go Mecha Ball, Harold Halibut, The Rewinder, and Turnip Boy Robs a Bank.
Nice
games.
I don't like that they're broadcasting like 7 games joining Game Pass, and there's 3. I don't like this. This tiered shit is stupid.
It is.
It's just making Game Pass a worse investment.
Yeah.
Because instead of getting 7 games on Game Pass, we got 3. Friggin' 3 for the first half of the month. Or the first 2/3, because in Flight Sim's the 19th, so. Yeah, they could do better. Games leaving Game Pass. 7 games leaving Game Pass. So Dicey Dungeons, Dungeons 4, Goat Sim for PC, Like a Dragon Ishin, Like a Dragon The Man Who Erased His Name, Persona 5 Tactica, and Somerville all leaving. So, bunch of heavy hitters gone, and we get Metal Slug Tactics and Goat Sim and Flight Sim.
So. That sucks about the Like a Dragon stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's all stuff I'm going to eventually buy anyway.
We have a discount until the end of the month with Game Pass, or get it on a bigger discount when they do a sale.
I was gonna say, I'm gonna be honest, like 90% of the time the Game Pass discount does not help whatsoever compared to a normal sale if you're just willing to wait.
Following on the heels of the Genshin Impact announcement coming later this month, rumors are circulating that Zenless Zone Zero might be the next Toyoverse to come over to Xbox potentially as soon as December's 1.4 update.
Cool.
I don't know what any of that means.
It's Genshin Impact. Do you know what Genshin is?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Okay, well, Zenless Zone Zero is their third game. The second is Honkai Star Rail, and it looks like one of them's coming to Xbox. So we'll see.
Okay.
Apparently, they're decent games.
Yeah, I've heard
don't
that.
Don't mind gotcha crap.
Yeah. I mean, they're free to play, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then again, with how much fun I've been having with New World Eternum, I think I'd rather just buy a game and own it. Then again, they have a lot of microtransaction shit in there, too, but whatever. The next game that might be jumping over to PS5 might be Age of Empires 2, as a Reddit user posted a screenshot being in a party with a PlayStation icon. Looks like it might be an inevitability that Age of Empires is moving over.
Hmm. Which, if I remember correctly, that was on PlayStation 2 way back in the day, wasn't it?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it was, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, like, it's not that... I don't think that it's as much of a sound of the alarm thing as, like, you know, PlayStation possibly getting the better version of the Indiana Jones game.
Oh, they're going to. They already have the better version of Call of Duty with the PS5 Pro.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Damn.
You know Indiana Jones is going to get a Pro update. So if you want the best Xbox games, buy a PlayStation, folks. That's what it's looking like these days. Sorry, I'm not jovial tonight. The Switch has sold 146 million units.
Okay.
Awesome.
Persona series has reached 23.5 million sales worldwide. And shout out to Vertically Impaired, who just subbed for the 80th month. Thank you, Tony. Love seeing you here. Appreciate the company. Appreciate you hanging out. Enjoy the kitty cats and the emotes. And thank you for your support. Take-Two sold its private division publishing label. The buyer has not been revealed that I have seen. But I have been out of the news today, so I don't know.
Yeah, I've been kind of trying to keep an eye on that to see if they revealed who it was, and I haven't seen anything yet either.
The only news I saw today is because of Jacob, and that's Death Stranding hit Xbox.
Yeah. You're welcome.
It's also on sale for the next 14 days for half off on Xbox. It's $20.
Oh, are you serious? Dang it. I might have to buy it.
Yeah, because we don't get Sony games. So.
Oh, that's actually a Sony game?
It's published on Xbox by 505, but it's a Sony game, yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know it qualified that way.
Huh. Yeah, but it's published by 505. I don't know what the deal is that they worked out, but it's here.
I feel like I read somewhere in passing that Kojima like bought the rights back so he could do what he want with it.
Maybe. Oh, that's what Thimber's saying right now.
Oh,
Kojima bought the rights for Death Stranding. There you go. So, I don't know. The email I had said it was still a Sony title. Let me... Sony Interactive Entertainment, Kojima Productions, Hideo Kojima, Mac version published by 505, Sony Interactive Entertainment, Kojima Productions, published by 505 Games. That's all it says. So it still says Sony Interactive Entertainment. So I don't know.
Fair.
Do not know, but it's on Xbox. So hooray.
Yay.
Some sad news. Sega is delisting a ton of games. They're delisting Sega Genesis classics from all platforms. And then all of the a la carte classic options that were available on Steam. And then Xbox is losing Altered Beast, Crazy Taxi, Golden Axe, Monster World, Nights into Dreams, Sega Bass Fishing, Shinobi, Sonic the Fighter, Streets of Rage, SVC, Toe Jam and Earl, and Virtua Fighter 2. They are all 360 games. They are all backward compatible. And they're all getting delisted, I believe, December something.
December 6th, if I remember correctly.
Jesus.
Yeah, but I mean, like, let's be honest, it's Sega. They're going to release like a new multi-pack. They're probably
working on a new bundle, classics, whatever. Mm-hmm. They like doing them, but if you want those 360 games, grab them now while you can, if they're still available. I don't know
how easy they're all
hard to get.
All the ones that are being delisted are still very much available. I was honestly surprised that they haven't put them on sale.
I mean, they're $5 games.
Not all of them. Some of
most of them.
Some of them are $10. And I know that the Sega Mega Drive and Genesis Classics thing, that you can get that on disc if you want to. I've been considering that just because, like, right now that's a $30 game that I don't feel like spending money on. Especially if Death Stranding is on sale for $20 right now.
Yep.
But then again, I've also got Disney Dreamlight to worry about. Like, decisions, decisions, decisions.
Boy, what are you going to do?
Probably
Dreamlight Valley, probably.
Yeah. I think Aki's right on that one.
Wait.
All right. Well, that's the news I have. Aki, what do you have?
Din nada.
Bree, what about you?
I don't know if this is newsworthy, but someone got Doom running on the Nintendo Alarmo. I saw a video. Yep.
Jesus Christ.
You use the thing on the top to, like, move around and some of the buttons to shoot or whatever. It's a whole thing. But yeah, they got Doom running on the Alarmo.
Damn.
Yeah.
Is there anything that can't play that at this point? Holy shit.
I mean, they got it to run on a pregnancy test.
I was just about to say that. People got it working on refrigerators. Yeah.
Holy hell.
Yeah. Ooh. Does anybody remember Newgrounds?
Yes.
Yes.
So there was a Flash animated point and click mystery called Alice is Dead, and they're getting a remake on Steam next year.
I don't remember
heard of that.
I don't remember that. That might have been after my time. Point and click.
It's like a noir Alice in Wonderland. It's pretty cool.
Okay. When did I stop going to Newgrounds? I was really big on, like, I think it was called, like, Zhao Zhao or something like that. The stickman fighting.
Yeah.
Things. But yeah, I don't know. That was great back in the day. And then all the, like, the alarm clock gang started, and that just started getting dumb.
Yeah. My next thing is TV Watch.
We don't have a TV Watch now. We just have Movie Watch.
Well, let's call it Movie Watch.
All right. Movie Watch. There.
TV show edition.
Hey, Jacob.
Yeah, TV show edition.
Yes.
Jacob.
Yes. Yes.
My boss.
So there's apparently a Mass Effect TV show in the works.
Damn you.
did you have that on your list?
I did.
Because it's my last piece of news.
The thing is that, like, I have all my articles, like, in order of how I was going to talk about them, and I was saving that for last, actually.
Oh, fair.
It's okay.
It now.
Go ahead, Brie. Go.
I don't have a ton of information on it. I just got this, like, right before we started the show, so.
Oh, it was okay. To torture you, basically.
Great. Yeah.
Apparently.
So Daniel Casey is going to write and executive produce this. He is also the writer of the 9th Fast and Furious movie. And it's going to be just over at Amazon's MGM Studios. No plot details have been released, but this has been something that Amazon has been working on for about 3 years now. So it looks like it's finally going to come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust it.
Yeah. I mean, my thing is, I assume they're going to have it out by the time that the 5th show comes out. So it would be cool if it tied into that, into the 5th game. So I don't know, but good talk.
Yeah.
Yep. What else?
That's it for me.
Jake, what else you got?
All right. Well, I have a bunch of news. Oh, Sony has patented an advanced game rewind feature that you can use on a controller, and pretty much it's just like all games will be able to use this rewind feature.
Cool.
What is it?
It just rewinds your game.
Hmm.
Like, so
what we've seen in classics.
Yes, but now
years like now.
Right, but they'll force all of their games, like anything that's on PlayStation, like they could theoretically force it. The other thing is that it could bring up like a table of contents, and so you could just skip to various parts of the game that you want to feel like playing. So
I think that would be awesome. I don't think they're actually going to start really implementing that into next to any games, just because that would be really fucking hard to do, I think.
I mean, it'll probably go about as well as, you know, hooking up the PSP to your PS3. You know, you could use it as a rear view mirror for Ridge Racer.
Wow, fair. That's a throwback.
Like, I remember seeing like the presentation on that, and I was just like, you seriously want me to buy your handheld so I can use it as a rear view mirror in a driving game? Like, I mean, yeah, that's interesting, but holy crap, that does not warrant a $400 per. How much did the PSP? It was 400, like, wasn't it? No, 200. 200 price tag, but yeah.
Might have been 250 yet.
NVIDIA is now going to limit how long you can play GeForce Now in a month.
That's dumb.
They're limiting you to 100 hours of playtime a month.
Well, that sounds like a service I won't need ever again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to, up to 15 hours of unused playtime will roll into the next month. If you're considered to be a performance user, you can buy an additional 15 hours for $2.99.
Fuck that.
Ultimate, which is the people who want to do high resolution gaming, they have to pay $6.
Nope.
NVIDIA says that like this is really only going to affect like 6% of users, but there's still a price hike coming, so it's like, no. Yeah,
those are the loudest 6% of users.
Yeah.
It's
not going to go over well.
So Multiverse's news. It has Warner Brothers is still shockingly underperforming, and Multiverses itself has lost another $100 million for Ooh. Warner Brothers Discovery.
Wow.
Big oof.
Like they're pleased with the game, but at least it's someone just not is. Bringing it. But it's not bringing in, so it's like a 300 total. Sorry, Warner Brothers Discovery, their games unit has taken a $300 million write down for just this year. No, the only thing
was Multiverses and Suicide Squad.
IGN
which makes
is
more
saying,
sense, but I don't.
Know. IGN is saying Multiverses. Oh. I'm not going to try to figure out. Either way, Multiverse is like still not turning a profit.
WB's doing bad. That's what matters.
Yeah. All right. Sega is finally making a new Virtua Fighter game.
Nifty.
And that's all we know.
No.
Good stuff.
The last player to still be online on the Nintendo 3DS has finally lost his connection. 200 days after the servers went down. Mario is cool. What is it? Oh no, sorry. Fish Guy 6564 was the last one still playing Mario Kart. Unfortunately, he got a error message on his 3DS and he had to reboot it.
Aim.
Fandom is laying off more of its staff, so the people who own stuff like GameSpot and Metacritic and Game FAQs, they're hemorrhaging more staff.
Always nice.
I think that was the plan. After all, they keep buying all these other ones, and it feels like they destroy half of the different things that are posted on there because it takes money to keep them up, and they only want to keep up the more recent stuff, so it doesn't shock me that they're getting rid of people left and right.
Yeah. Netflix is, which just announced the closure of their gaming studio, is also going to be removing almost all of its interactive titles. So, in case you were unaware, there's a series of choose your own adventure kind of movie games that you could just watch at Netflix, and they're removing all but four of them on December 1st.
Hmm, interesting.
I thought we talked about that, but I guess not.
No, we talked about their studio.
Maybe it's just because I've seen that news a few times about them closing their interactive stuff.
I mean, whatever. I did post it to the Facebook page, so, yeah. You know. Yeah, my my youngest is very upset.
Choose Your Own Adventure's gone. Good fucking riddance to him.
I'm sorry, what?
The Undertaker has some kind of interactive thing. And fuck him.
Escape the Undertaker.
So, peace or something. Out to him.
Yeah.
Loser.
Well, you're also gonna lose out on the Carmen Sandiego and Boss Baby ones. And the one that my kid was a big fan of is Battle Kitty, which is pretty damn fun. And so if you have Netflix, check it out before December 1st. And now it's I only have one bit of movie watch news. Well, two, maybe. All right. I'll move into TV first.
You want the theme Fallout song again or what?
No, we don't need it. No, it's okay. So
what?
That works. So we have some breaking news. Fallout season 2 has cast Macaulay Culkin as some sort of crazy genius type character. He will be a reoccurring role in season 2.
Nice.
He can definitely pull off the crazy. I've seen him in more recent stuff on like YouTube channels and stuff, and I think he can pull off the crazy look real well.
Oh yeah, he totally can.
I don't know about the genius part, but
he's an actor. What the heck was it? It was Party Monster. My ex-girlfriend made me watch that, and he was brilliant in that. And it also made me come up with an idea for a Party Monster musical just featuring the music of Kesha. I think it would work.
No.
I've copyrighted my idea. Shush. No. Yes. All right. Anywho. And so the last bit of news I have is that it turns out that Riot really doesn't know what they're doing when trying to get into entertainment. It was recently revealed that Arcana? Is that the name of their show? League of Legends, like, anime show?
Arcane.
Yeah, they've blown $250 million on it just to make it, and then they spent, like, another $50 million to market it, even though they weren't responsible for the marketing budget. They just did it. And going along with that, the Avengers Endgame directors, the Russo brothers, they... because Riot didn't know what they were doing when they wrote up contracts, the brothers walked away with $5 million to not make a League of Legends movie. So that's fun. That's all my news.
That's so the hilarious. Last bit of news was the news was that they didn't do anything.
Yes. And they got $5 million for doing nothing.
I love this fucking country, but all right, we ready for reviews then?
Oh my god, I don't believe it. Yo, do you see the crown thing for Twitch up in the corner for the Prime Gaming stuff?
Okay.
All right, I just clicked on it. You know what's the first game that shows up as like what you could get for this week on Prime? Cars. it was fate. On to reviews.
Something.
All right. First game to talk about is Neptunia Game Maker R Evolution, developed by Compile Heart and Idea Factory, published by Idea Factory International, released October 29th on Series X and S and Windows Store for $49.99. Within the Game Maker world, in order to acquire shares, Game Makers have started to wage a battle for supremacy, and so a new Game Maker steps into the fray, attempting to endure the battle for survival in game industry. Aki, tell us about your time with Game Maker R Evolution.
All right. In this game, you play as Neptune, which is pretty common in most of these games, and she has dimension topped again, because that's just a thing she does, in order to hunt bugs, not video game bugs, literal actual bugs, which is just not something I expected, honestly. I always thought it was supposed to be game bugs. No, it's literal, like, butterflies and shit.
Like bugs, not like Starship Trooper bugs. Just, I'm gonna hop around in a meadow and prance and collect butterflies.
It's weird. It's just a part of her personality, apparently, and I never realized it was literal bugs. So she's gone hopping, and she has ended up in another version of game industry, obviously. However, in this one, instead of everyone focusing on just being, you know, the console makers that they usually are, it's now more focused on game developers instead. So everyone's producing video games, including you, brings back the game disc making from the prior game that I talked about that came to Xbox earlier this year. I can't remember for the life of me what it was called off the top of my head anymore. But it brings that mechanic back where you're creating game discs, and with those game discs, depending on how you make it, you can give your character some extra buffs when you equip that disc to yourself. Some of them are like, oh, you can cancel out of dodges, or you get invincibility during dodges, or you can give yourself more time to chain attack so you can get a bigger multiplier, stuff like that. So nothing too major that I've noticed so far, at least. Granted, I'm only in chapter 3 of, I think, 10. Because these are longer games. You meet up with three failure goddesses, is what they're listed as. They've done something bad in the past, apparently, and now they have zero shares, basically everywhere. And for anyone not familiar with these games, the shares are how much power a goddess has, and it's based on how many shares basically their business has compared to everyone else. And yeah, so you're becoming the president of this company with these three goddesses and creating games. And you have to end up fighting against pirates who are trying to steal assets and stuff like that. And creating games with assets from lots of different companies and things of that nature. So they're really pushing the anti-piracy thing in this one quite hard. Even all the bad guys are literally yar-haring and stuff. Neptune obviously gets embroiled in this and decides to, you know, fight against the bad guys, all while corruption has slowly taken hold, and she's trying to clear that up too, because it's a Neptune game. You're seeing a lot of the same characters that you've seen in prior games. Like, you see all the main goddesses from basically every game. They're just always in their goddess form, because that's just how it is in this alternate dimension.
What does that mean? Goddess form, what does that mean? I've never played any of these, so that's why I'm asking.
Okay, so all of the characters usually have a standard, you know, clothing form that you would expect someone walking around the street in. Okay. And then they can, when they have enough energy, they can change basically what they look like to more flowing robes and looking more powerful, and they gather all their energy to actually fight. And that's their goddess form. Usually it's a little more tech looking than, you know, wearing street clothes, because they're all, you know, basically makeups of consoles, more or less, usually.
Like, so, that I'm interrupting, because, like, I realize, like...
Well, I gotta interrupt you. Burger Thing just subbed. Thank you, Burger Thing. We appreciate you.
Now, Dom, Burger Thing. Domus. Anyway. So these outfits, like, is this just something that they, like, swap into when it's battle time, or, like,
you battle in your street clothes?
Or
you battle mostly in your street clothes. When you have enough energy, you can push a button to go in to this other form. Yeah.
So it's like a fashionable Super Saiyan.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Because they also get stronger when they're in this form.
Okay.
Not that you really usually need to worry about that, because lots of these games are pretty easy, thankfully. They're just time-consuming. So you don't really have to worry about that. I, more often than not, accidentally go into the super form during battles, just because I forget the button does anything.
Don't we all, ladies? Don't we all?
But you still get the ability to change up your combos and how they work by equipping different movesets that are, you know, rush, power attack, and I forgot what the third one is now. and which are just color coded, and some abilities, you know, if you put them after one of the other ones, they'll be stronger and whatnot. I personally don't typically like that system because I'm really bad at it. Everyone else probably has a great time with it, but I'm not very smart, so I do very poorly at that. Otherwise, you're just going through and going through all the dungeons, getting money, getting items, and making discs as often as you can to further the game forward. And yeah,
here's a question for you. The last game that we played in this series had some stuttering tech issues in the overworld, like when you would traverse areas. Is that still in the game, or have they ironed that out?
It seems like they've ironed that out. I did not notice that for any of them this time. There is one oddity for this one, though. They've given Neptune her motorcycle, which is referenced in other games. For a couple different characters even, but I don't think you were actually ever able to drive it, and you can drive it in dungeons, and it's kind of wonky to drive in, but it's not like something you have to be in. It just allows you to move a little faster. So it's not a big loss not to use it, unless you're like, oh, I want these challenges done, because there are some challenges that you can optionally take, I don't think you have to do any of them, that give you some items and stuff that require you to be on the motorcycle and get through an area as fast as possible within a time limit. But I don't think you actually have to do those. They're just an optional thing you can do. And with enough time and practice, I'm sure you'll be able to manage the motorcycle. It's just, it really handles weirdly to me. I don't particularly like it. But yeah, otherwise, it's a great game, just like all the others have been for the most part. You know, I really like the comedy in this, because Neptune's dumb would be an understatement of exactly what she is, and that's what makes her so lovable and fun. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, it is a $50 game. They also have a deluxe edition for $69.99 that includes a bunch of swimsuit outfits. What do you think of the game for $50, and what do you think of the deluxe?
I am very for the standard version of the game. The deluxe, I am always a little questionable about, just based on company. In Japan, I would say totally yes, but in the U.S., it's a little harder to say, yeah, go grab that, you guys, because it's a little weird, because some of the characters, their ages are changed for the U.S. release. Let's put it that way. So, if you want to look at people like that in swimsuits, then go right for it, I guess. But it's not really for me. But I think the game is fun and totally worth playing.
I did ask the fine folks at Idea Factory if the swimsuits would be available separately, and they said as of this time, no.
Oh, that sucks.
So if you want the swimsuits, you got to pick up the deluxe edition. So.
Yep. Oh, well.
All right. Next game, Monarchy, developed and published by Brain Seal, released November 6th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS5, and PC for $14.99. Unleash your strategic brilliance in this 2D side-scrolling strategy game where you must build a base, manage resources, explore the mysterious forest, and conquer your enemies. Bree, tell us about Monarchy.
So it's going to be hard to describe this game without referencing another game that it seems to take after called Kingdom New Lands, but I will try. Monarchy is a 2D side-scrolling management game with a little tower defense and roguelite mixed in for good measure. You're a monarch, and you have to build your kingdom from the ground up. You start out in the woods with a little bit of money and an archer to help you hunt, which will get you some coins. You have to place your camp down in a suitable clearing and then build defenses and stations for things like hiring archers and builders. Once you have a base, you can start exploring the woods to find chests of coins, beggar camps to hire people for your kingdom. You can find resources to increase the strength of your walls, mining camps for coins, caves with treasure, stuff like that. You can also cut down trees to make your area bigger and farm coins off the lumber, and then sometimes removing the trees also reveals things like caves and stuff that are hidden in the woods. there's a merchant you can give coin to, and they will go off and sell your stuff every day, and you'll get more coins the next day. You need to...
Question.
Yes.
Does the merchant, like, take a piece of the action, or can you sell it yourself, or does it, like...
You pay them a coin, and they come back with, like, 8 to 10 coins each day. It's just a mechanism that you use over and over. You can also use the merchant to get troops, like more ready-to-go troops that you don't have to pay for, which, again, you're paying one coin if you find them out in the woods, but if you find yourself desperate for people and you don't want to go exploring, or you can't go exploring, or, you know, you've got the option to something. Get, like, a free person. Yeah.
So yeah, merchant, okay.
A useful thing to keep around.
Gotcha.
You need to get your defenses built up immediately in the game, because you get attacked every night by bandits. If they get to your main camp, it's game over. If you get caught by bandits with no coin on you, you lose your crown, and it's game over. There are four scenarios: Bandit Land, the Siege, the Winter Night, and the Tutorial, which also represent the different seasons. So there's some variety of maps. And the maps are, like, different each time you play them. So they're, I don't want to say procedurally generated, but, you know, they're going to be different each time that you play them, as far as where things are located within those scenarios. You can play as a king or a queen. You don't have any way as a monarch to fight back personally. It's about managing your people. So you have to hire the archers to do that work for you. You do have a horse and a torch to light your way. Your horse can run too, which is particularly useful if you're out exploring and realize it's getting a little dark and you need to get back to camp. But your horse has limited stamina, so be careful with that. And then once you've raised your army and built up your town, you can lead your troops to fight. One thing that sets us apart from Kingdom is the ability to place your camp where you want it. The game gives you a clearing near the start point to make it easier, but instead of there being a fire to light, you have to find a place and light it yourself. From there, to build defenses, you have to decide where you want to place them, as opposed to being limited to certain areas best suited for defense. It took me a little while to realize this was an improvement and not a hindrance. The tutorial does a decent job of showing you the basics, but it didn't quite click until I got into the main game that I had to place my own camp, and so I wandered for a bit, and I ended up dying. What I didn't get from the tutorial was how to do things, or that removing certain trees removes beggar camps. There are a lot of little rules to learn as you go, and to be fair, this was the case for Kingdom as well, and it's part of why I think people had a hard time staying engaged with the game. I like a good balance of telling me what to do and, you know, the joy of discovery. I would say just don't expect this game to hold your hand at all. If you're a seasoned Kingdom player, though, you can guess at a lot of what to do in Monarchy really easily. As you get further in the game, you get more unlocks, like a bigger coin pouch, so you aren't always losing coins to the ground if you don't have something to spend your money on. You have to manage your resources well to succeed in this. You upgrade your camp and the strength of your buildings and walls. You gain access to farms for money making. Eventually, you get the ability to take your army and fight back, taking out the bandit camps or fighting monsters at the end of your forest. The art style in this is cartoony and cute. The music is pretty chill, but in both areas, it's pretty hard to compare to the breathtaking music and pixel art of the Kingdom series. There are weather effects like rain and flashing lightning during storms. You can turn the lightning and screen shake off in the settings if you don't like them or can't have them, because they are pretty flashy. There's also a split-screen local co-op if you want to play with a friend. But, yeah.
Ooh, well, it is a $14.99 game. How does it compare to Kingdom? How does it stand out on its own? And is it worth picking up?
It's, I'm going to say this is a try it for me. It was too much like Kingdom, maybe, and there weren't enough things to set it apart. There were some unique mechanics.
Unique.
There you go. But, you know, in the same vein of things that you might see that you're able to use earlier on. But there were also some stutters where the game would just freeze for a few seconds, which was not, like, game breaking, but it was really annoying. I feel like the price is a little high for the amount of content, given there's only three scenarios, basically. I might even say wait for a sale.
Cool. Works for me. Any other thoughts?
That's it.
Hey, Aki. Aki.
Yes.
Yes. I have a joke for you.
Oh, God.
Where does the king keep his armies?
I don't know.
In his sleeveys.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, got him.
I'm ashamed I actually found that funny.
Next game is Bottle Pilgrim Redux, developed by Tonguk Bodur and Katniss Game Studios, published by Katniss Game Studios, released October 30th, Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5 for $11.99. Embark on a deeply emotional journey in Bottle Pilgrim Redux, where loss, regret, and redemption come together. Step into the shoes of a solitary traveler who each year descends from the peak of a towering mountain to a calm beach far below. The annual pilgrimage is more than just a physical trip. It's a profound exploration of inner struggles, a quest for understanding, and a path towards peace. Bree, what is Bottle Pilgrim Redux?
So I like I dislike the term walking simulator to describe this sort of game, but the write-up of the game actually calls it just that, so we're going to go with it's a walking simulator. But I really want to focus on the fact that the developer makes absolutely gorgeous landscapes that you want to walk through. There's life to the environments in the form of moving vegetation and wildlife, weather effects, and excellent lighting. And this is all the setting for a story with relaxing music. This is a story about loss and trying to find peace. Main character has gone on this pilgrimage every year since his wife passed away, and he visits all these important places in his life to reflect. We learn through voice narration about his struggles trying to work and raise a daughter, about trying to take care of himself and whether to date again. And while you're exploring, there are collectibles to find in the form of drawings done by the daughter, which also accounts for most of the achievements in the game. You'll also get to do some fun things like chase a pig and scare a rabbit.
Quick question.
Yes.
These drawings, which you say lead to achievements, are they missable?
They are missable, yes.
Oh, okay.
There is a chapter select, though.
Okay.
So that's a good, you know, side point. And I did end up having to use the chapter select because I miss a couple of the drawings. There are a few really light puzzle elements, like needing to find specific items before progressing. You need to find batteries to put in a radio to hear the voice of Cassandra, the main character's wife. And I don't want to spoil anything, but I was not prepared for the ending. It gets surprisingly dark.
Ooh.
Biggest
good way, bad way.
Bad way. I think I was in a party with someone and I audibly gasped. I was like, oh, what? I was not prepared for that. just not prepared for that.
Wow.
The biggest detractor for me was the narration audio. It sounded a bit like it was coming through a walkie-talkie. The audio for that made sense on the radio for the wife, and you know, she was a ghost or whatever, but it didn't make sense for the main character. I didn't know what was up with that. The run and auto run buttons gave me an issue at one point where I couldn't find a way to turn off the auto run, which was kind of comical. I just sort of ran myself into a tree and eventually pressed enough buttons until it stopped.
Works.
There are inverted controls for those who need it.
Thank God.
But yeah, this experience clocks in at a little more than an hour with a handful of chapters in the story.
No, it's $12. Is that worth an hour?
See, I'm going to have to give this a try it too. Price was a little higher than I'm used to for his games. It was only about the hour of play. The audio narration was a bit off for me. The landscapes were beautiful. The plot twist was unexpected. But I've enjoyed many of this developer's games. This was not my favorite.
Wait, which game was this? I don't see a link for it in the Twitch.
I didn't. It's Bottle Pilgrim Redux.
Okay.
You just did one of his games last week, I think.
Yeah.
1951.
Yeah, right. Because I saw that there's one coming out soon, and I was just like, oh no, did Bree already review it? So no.
No,
I don't think so. Anyway, good talk.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Bree, any other thoughts on the game?
I mean, it's still a beautiful game. I just might wait for a sale.
Works for me. All right. Up next, Magic Cats Pots, developed and published by Red Deer Games, released October 31st. Xbox One, Series X and S, and the Switch for $9.99. Repair magical pots with cats. Restore broken porcelain and reveal hidden magic in Magic Cats Pots puzzles. Step into the magical world of Magic Cats Pots and breathe new life into old treasures. Bree, what is Magic Cats Pots?
So, yeah, this is a jigsaw puzzle game about fixing shattered pottery with cute cats on it. I'm guessing the cats knock things off the shelf. But the pottery all has cat motifs and figures on them. Sometimes the cats even come to life when you restore the objects and they like move around. It's really cute. There are 9 categories of objects: mugs, bowls, pots, vases, teacups, plates, and more.
And there are categories.
Yes, categories, exactly. See?
Aki, you're fired. You're on it.
Each category has 14 objects. That's over 120 things for you to fix. Once you finish one category, you unlock the next. There are 3 difficulty levels: cozy, which has 4 to 5 pieces to sort, medium with 10 to 15, and hard with 20 to 26 pieces, give or take. Once you complete the objects on cozy, you unlock medium difficulty, and once you complete the game on cozy, you unlock hard difficulty, which I thought was a weird choice, but that works, I guess. When you complete a level, you get a satisfying finish screen with a little jingle and some stars and a congratulations, which is also very satisfying. The achievement list is pretty straightforward, asking you to fix all the objects in each category and on all difficulties, which is about 375 objects to lovingly repair. Even on hard difficulty, the game is cozy with all of its nature sounds in the menus and lo-fi beats while you work. If you need help visualizing the image, you can press the X button and it'll show you an image of your completed pot. And the art is really cute. It has charming painted look to it and a pleasing color palette. It's not an overly complicated game. It's relaxing and satisfying to put things back in order. The breaking of the pottery is procedurally generated, so you can replay the puzzles and they won't be exactly the same.
Well, that's neat.
Yeah. It has a good amount of content, and I didn't feel it was too repetitive doing the same pots again, because again, they're different every time they break, and you've got more pieces, and you know, you get kind of familiar with the shapes and colors and designs, and it's just a nice little thing to play before bed when you're winding down for the night. You need to have something relaxing to do for a bit between like other tasks or other games. It's honestly one of the things I've been playing the most over the last couple weeks.
So you're saying that doing pots every night helps relax?
Yes.
Okay. the exasperation in your voice. I love it.
Jacob, you're fired too. Bree, it's a $10 game. What do you think about it?
Well, I was going to give it a buy it, but I did run into an issue.
Oh no.
I had some progress loss.
Ooh.
And so I've ended up playing the game more than I wanted to. And now supposedly they're working to fix that, but I have not seen anything yet. I've had it happen to me twice now where I've lost some progress.
Oh
yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to give it a try it. And hope that you didn't have the same issues with The Price is Right. The game is adorable. I just hope that they fix the progress loss issue.
Hope so. But yeah. If you buy it in the next week, it's $8 instead of 10.
There you go.
So you want to take that risk, but hopefully they fix it soon. But,
yeah.
Next up, Duck Run, developed by Dudiki Studios, published by Aphil Games, released November 6th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $4.99, Windows Store for a separate $4.99. In Duck Run, you'll embark on an exciting adventure with a brave little duck determined to make it through countless obstacles. Your mission is to guide the duck through a series of dangerous traps across 40 levels, all while keeping track of the time it takes to complete each challenge. Bree and Jacob, both of you played this. Who wants to go first?
Okay. I mean, I figured it was more so Bree's review with me chiming in. So,
all right, well, so, yeah. Bree, lead it off. What is Duck Run? It's
another jump and dash platformer featuring a duck that runs.
Shocking.
There are spikes and saws and other obstacles to avoid. By level 6, it introduces a new mechanic where you bounce off of bubbles, and that was where the game started getting really tough for me. I'm pretty good at platformers like this typically. I got to level 11 and I was just stuck.
I got to level 5.
Oh, yeah. I got to 11.
Complete, yeah, I to did, complete level 11, you have to dash across some spikes, not get hit by 2 saws as you go under them. Then you have to bounce on bubbles over the saws, but not so high that you hit the spikes above you. And then there's still more level to go, but I didn't get past the first part to the checkpoint. And there are checkpoints on most levels, but not all of them. So that's sometimes frustrating.
And they're not always the most generous checkpoints. Like,
they are not.
No, they are not.
And I would say the game, it says it has 40 levels, but I feel like I counted 50 on the main page. So there's 40 or 50 levels. The current achievement list wants you to get to level 31 for the 2,000 total gamer score available.
Well, that's not happening. To
level 11, nope. Yeah. if I could get past level 11, I might be able to get a little further. I'm willing to give it more try. I went and found a video to see what else was in the game because there were people better than I am at it. You get a variety of level biomes to keep it fresh, like snow levels. There's another mechanic that is an orange bubble that refills your dash, so you may have to jump, dash, get on some green bubbles to jump, and then use refill your dash, and then dash again, and you know, it kind of blends all these things together, getting more combinations of elements. But yeah, this ended up being another game I thought got too hard too fast.
Yep.
We see those a lot lately, and they're getting frustrating.
I'm not going to lie. Like, didn't we just review a game like this from AFIL Games? Like I know that they churn stuff out pretty quick, but I'm pretty sure we just played.
There was another game that wasn't.
It was like, say, crud.
Well, there was one called Ducky Dash, but that was a different company.
No, crud. Let me just look up AFIL Games. Because okay. I know we just... The thing is that it was Say Cheese.
Oh, that was a little hard, a little fast. Well, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Like, at first, that wasn't it. Dang it. It was
a puzzle one.
Yeah, I'm trying to think... I don't know, but it's just like I felt like I already played this. Like, and it just felt like it was reskinned from something else. And I was just like, this just is not fun.
Yeah, I found it was more punishing than fun. And I typically like these kind of platformers. So.
Yeah, I can agree that it's more punishing than fun. And I think we're starting to see that in a lot of games lately. And it's a trend that I'm not enjoying.
Yeah.
Like, I want to have fun with my games. I don't want to lose what little hair I have left. It's $5. What do you two think?
I could give it a try. I've played better in this genre. It's a good price for what you're getting, but it just wasn't as fun as I wanted.
In my opinion, like, this is a game that's really meant for people who want some sort of, like, a Super Meat Boy experience where it's, like, it tries to combine speed running with precision platforming, and it's just, if you're not a fan of it, then no, just don't even spend the $5. If you like that kind of stuff, give it a try.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Bree, I guess that is it for you. We will let you get going so you can enjoy your sailing.
All right.
Yar. Do you have any final thoughts, final words?
If you drop a cactus, don't try to catch it.
That's fair. That's a good point.
Yeah.
It's a good point. Have a good
night.
I love how she immediately ran from that.
Yeah. All right, next up, Vampire Survivors Ode to Castlevania DLC, developed and published by Ponkle, released October 31st on all platforms as DLC for Vampire Survivors for $3.99. The Vampire Survivors have come a long way in their honorable hunt, and after joining forces with the Belmont family, they're the closest they've ever been, finally within their grasp of vampire, possibly, at least. Jacob, maybe. What is Vampire Survivors Ode to Castlevania DLC?
So, Vampire Survivors Castlevania DLC. I know this is going to come as a big shock, but Castlevania characters are now in Vampire Hunter. Or Survivors, sorry. I was thinking of Vampire Hunter D, which if you guys haven't ever watched those anime movies, they're
great pretty sweet. Animes.
Oh, that would be sweet if they did Vampire Hunter D DLC. Anyway, so Castlevania brings in all, like, it's a whole new map, bunch of new characters, some of them that you have to find through the map yourself, tons of new weapons, all sorts of enemies, which of course are from the series, and it is like, it just follows like the Vampire Survivors formula. Where you're pretty much just like walking around, killing stuff, leveling up, getting new weapons, combining weapons with an item to make even more powerful weapons, you know, getting your garlic and your heart stuff together so then you could just like mow through everyone with a Castlevania setting. And so you're outside of Dracula's castle and you have to defeat various bosses that are littered all over the map as you make your way through the castle. And some of them are not that hard. Some of them are stupendously hard. Like, I think I ran into Dracula once by accident and he just annihilated me immediately. But it was just like, it's really cool. I mean, it follows like the same formula, but then there's all sorts of like little things that you like that they do. Like, there's dead ends within the castle. There's doors that require you to have done something else to unlock it, and it's about as like kind of like a Castlevania as you could get in Vampire Survivors. Like, you have like the whole castle to explore. It's just up to you to get it done in the correct method so then you can explore more of it and kill everyone else. And I can't go too far into it because Ponkle requested that we not give any spoilers, but I have to talk about one of the boss battles, which I still haven't been able to beat because it keeps kicking my ass. But it references like the old Castlevania games, and you end up having to like fight yourself. And that part's inconsequential. But what's really cool is that the map all of a sudden turns it to look like you're actually playing Castlevania. And so like I don't know how to describe it, but it's like, cause they don't mess with the camera, but they make like with all the sprite stuff, they made it actually look like a Castlevania screen. Like, you're just actually playing Castlevania, and it's just, it's wild. It's awesome. And like, it shows so much inventiveness with it. And yeah, there's a bunch of stuff to unlock. It's really cool. And it's a lot of fun. Like, I'm having fun exploring all the secrets that are within this, and I'm really glad that they made it.
I am blown away by this DLC. Like, every time I think
they've shoved so much stuff into it, and there's like, still, and you know that there's still more stuff to explore.
Yeah. As soon as we think we've seen the biggest from Ponkle, they bust out something like this that has, what, 20 characters and 40 weapons they advertise?
Yeah, I think it was something like that. Says. Like, it's
ridiculous how much is it? 30 new music tracks. It's just, yeah, 40 weapons. Fighting the forces of evil is hard as hell. They've got whips, spells, magic weapons, projectiles, glyphs, special weapons.
You can carry some of that stuff into other levels and stuff. Mm-hmm. Too. And so, like, if you look at all the Arcania, whatever you call it, cards, they've actually updated all of them to include the Castlevania weapons. And so, yeah, it's exciting. Yeah.
It's pretty ridiculous what they're doing with this. And for $4, like, come on.
Totally.
Give us, like, your verdict.
This game, like, honestly, this game is, like, one of the best values in gaming, period, dot. But, I mean... You did see the boss battle that I'm talking about, right? Like,
yeah,
that
mirror,
I was talking about.
Mirror battle.
Yeah, the mirror. Like, that was so cool when you first see it. Oh man, it was.
I don't think that's necessarily anything that they don't want discussed because it's still fairly early in the map. What they want not discussed is near the end of the map.
That's fair. But the mirror. I don't know. It was just so unexpected. I felt like, I mean, that was a total surprise.
How they shifted it from top down to side scrolling for that battle, and you had to like it up to jump.
Oh, I wonder if that's why I tried that too. Okay,
did you die to him hitting you with?
Oh, I've died every single time.
I know.
Yeah, I made it
pretty far through. I appreciate that it's a level that requires multiple playthroughs.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you definitely have to.
But yeah, overall the $4, your official verdict?
Totally.
Cool. All right, next is Fate Seeker 2, developed by JSL Entertainment, published by New Gamer. Burger Thing sub just went through, so we just got the notification for it now, but thank you again. Released October 24th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and PC for $29.99. The storyline of Fate Seeker 2 tells the tale of a rebellious youth whose unwavering determination guides him through challenging paths of growth and rebellion. Fueled by the sad loss of his family, his heart burns with a strong sense of justice. Inspired by his parents' bravery against corruption, he promises to make villains pay for what they did. Aki, what is Fate Seeker 2?
Okay, this is the second in a series, as you might have been able to guess from the two at the end of that. I have not played the first one, but I believe this just continues the same character's journey. So, in this, you're playing as a young man named, I think, something like Zhong Yu, I think is how it's pronounced. I'm not sure, because it's Chinese, and I'm not good at that. And
Z-H-U-G-E. Zhuge?
Yeah.
Zhuge?
I have no idea. I really don't.
Z-Huge.
Z-Huge, yes. Z-Huge you.
That's what they, that's what French people say when they see me.
Z-Huge you. Jacob Z-Huge you. Anyway, what is Fate Seeker 2? We're awful people.
Yes, we are. In this, you're playing as that young man, and he is something of... I believe he works as an imperial something. I'm just not sure what, because again, Chinese, I'm not great with that stuff. But basically, he's acting as both a detective as well as judge, jury, and executioner. And he is going and solving little missions for different people. Like his first one, he's checking out a new cult that has appeared, and he has to figure out what they're doing because they're claiming magic, and he's like, that's bullshit, so let's get rid of let's figure out what they're actually doing. So he goes and investigates that and eventually annihilates two people because he's awesome like that. And this one, it has a lot of abilities you can equip in for combat and stuff. There's various books that he can obtain, and as he studies the books, it unlocks new moves, and that's just you get a point and you can put it into the book, and it increases your abilities with whatever moves it has a little bit. So you might get like, oh, this is the river book or whatever. And it gives you river martial arts or some shit like that. And all of the books do stuff like that. And you can equip different martial arts all at the same time. And each one can do different things. Like, I focused on the river one. It's one of the two you start off with. I think the other one was, like, light or sun or something. And basically, the water one allowed you to hit a whole bunch of people all at once and hit a whole bunch of times. It was more for like dealing with people around you or groups of people. Whereas the other one was like, oh, yeah, this will hit the same jackass that's directly in front of you three times. I'm like, or I could hit like eight people in front of me like 20 times. I'd rather do that one. So I knew what style I was going to stick with. When you're not doing combat, you're doing detective style stuff, which is just running around talking with people. Occasionally you'll see some things that you can interact with, and you have to figure out how to interact with them. Sometimes you want to look at them, sometimes you want to try and ignite them because you do have a fire starter on you, and other things like that. And you can do this wrong, as I found out and had the restart of fragment of the game, because I realized I did something very wrong. When I say you can ignite things, you can ignite things, like, a lot of things. After the first mission, you go to a, more or less, what amounts to a hub town, basically, where you live. And there's so many things you can interact with, and a lot of them burn. And you probably shouldn't be burning any of it. But it is funny to burn it all. So there's that to keep be aware of. You can't screw things up. Don't do that. overarching, he, you know, finds some people that he finds suspicious, and he thinks they're all kind of connected with this conspiracy of corruption within the government, I guess, and he goes to go and solve those issues as well as to help individuals around throughout each individual level and in his village. I really liked the combat. I didn't much care for everything else because they put a whole bunch of stuff into just a handful of buttons, and it makes it very hard to remember what things do. For instance, the A, B, X, Y, and the up, down, left, right D-pad are used. You can use them individually as they are. You can hold a button and use them. You can hold a different button and use them. A different button and use them. And all of the different sets do different things. Completely different things sometimes. Some of them are combat. Some of them are helping you get around the different menus. Some of them are to do specific types of actions. And it's very hard to keep it all separate. It's trying to do a bit too much, I think. And I think that's probably a holdover from the fact that it is a PC game originally, and probably had most of the keyboard being used for this stuff, which would be significantly easier. I don't know how many times I tried to interact with things, but it requires you to hold a button and then use other buttons in order to actually interact with stuff instead of just going up and interacting with it, like most other games would allow you to do. So I sat there. I don't know how many times I forgot how to do the controls because I played something else and then came back to it. And I was like, I don't know how to interact with this. And I just had to sit there for minutes just trying to figure out how to re-interact with things so I could continue investigations. Combat is nice and easy. Everything else becomes so unnecessarily complicated because of just how much they use buttons for. So otherwise, it's a very good looking game. The combat's really fun. You get to fight a whole bunch of people all at once, and as you get further into the game, they get their own abilities and stuff, and more of them will show up to be able to get the shit beat out of them, and you unlock new abilities and can upgrade your abilities, and you get new books that give you new, completely new forms. It's really fun to do. And you also, as you level up, you get the ability to upgrade your own character. You cannot max them out, from what I understand, but you can max out like two or three different fields, I think it is, and there's six or seven of them. Each one is for a specific thing. Like, one's like your region and health. One's like attack power. One's your critical chance. Stuff like that. And you get to see how it levels up. Some of them are just like, oh, you level up here and you just get this stuff. Some of them are, and now it branches. Choose what you want. So, yeah, it's a really interesting game, but I think for console players, I think it's bit off a bit more than it can chew because it's very hard to play due to having to remember all the different button combinations and what they need to do. It's a shame, really.
Yeah. Well, it's a $30 game. We need a verdict on it. What do you think?
I think this is a pass for consoles. I think if this game sounds like a U game, I would suggest it on PC because I think that's clearly what it was made for.
All right, sounds good. Next game, Arrow the Acrobat, Rascal Rival Revenge, developed by Shinyadin and Sunsoft, published by Rattleaka Games, released November 1st. Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $5.99. The 2002 remake of Arrow the Acrobat is back and better than ever. The remake includes improved sprites, modified stages and skills, as well as a whole new comic-style introduction scene. Jacob, what is Arrow the Acrobat, Rascal Rival Revenge?
So this version of Arrow, as they said, is a remake. I believe that this was released for the Game Boy Advance. And I'm not going to lie, it shows. For the most part, it looks heck of a lot better than the original game. The description is correct. The sprites look a lot cleaner. The backgrounds are gorgeous to look at. especially like as you're going like through the circus and all the normal stuff, there does seem to be some stuff switched up. And it's definitely a little bit more clear as to how you're supposed to accomplish various stuff within the level. Like, if you recall my review for the first game, one of the things that I hated was that it was just like, oh, you have to get rid of 7 platforms. And then it's like, boop, dumps you into the level. Doesn't explain anything of what you're looking for, any of that kind of stuff. This one, it actually takes the time to show you, like, if there's something that you specifically need to be looking for, this is what you're looking for, this is how you get rid of it or get it. And then you just go on your merry way. And yeah, so it's really just like, did you like the gameplay of the previous games? Like, if you thought it was kind of okay, they did tighten it up a bit, so it does play better than the 2 previous entries in the series. However, as I said, it shows that it's a Game Boy Advance title, because there are various like little comic book looking scenes that they use to introduce characters and new levels and stuff like that. I don't know if they don't have the original art anymore or if the original art was literally just like a JPEG, but all of a sudden, like, you could tell that this was supposed to be something on a very small screen, and now it's blown up and it just looks ugly. And I'm just like, guys, come on, you couldn't have cleaned this thing up? Like, it just, that is honestly the most distracting thing in the game. Otherwise, like, if you're a fan of Arrow, or you were just like, I don't know about the first one, like, as I said, this one does play tighter and better than the original. It all just really depends on whether you like it enough or not to double dip. No, I don't know how to feel, like, honestly, because I didn't realize that this was, like, I thought that they had made like a third game. I didn't realize that this was just like a remake. And I'm not gonna lie, like, I mean, yeah, it's cool that we got the remake, because yeah, it does look prettier, but it's pretty much the same game that just got released like 2 months ago.
Yeah, it's a completionist thing, is that they're trying to get all the versions out there.
Oh yeah, sure. No.
Preservation and all that. So I appreciate that they're releasing them.
Oh yeah, and like every single game in the series that I've talked about, I do appreciate that with the game preservation and continuing to make it available. Like, these are not the best platformers out of the 90s, but it's glad that they're still there for people to judge it on its own merits. And hey, who knows? Maybe Arrow will get his own audience finally.
Maybe.
Like,
well, $6. Give us your verdict.
For game preservationist reasons, I would say buy it. Anything else, I'd say, you know, wait for a sale or try it.
All right, sounds good. One final game tonight, and we're going to Kids Corner. George, take it away. Kids
Corner! With Jacob and friends!
Final game is Monster High Skulltimate Secrets, developed by Patoon Studio and Casual Brothers, published by Outright Games. We are Outright Ambassadors. Released October 29th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, PC for $39.99. It's your first day at Monster High, where all monsters are welcome, but some strange events are happening. Can you uncover the mystery of the doors and ancient keys and bring the school back to its authentic spooky self? Play and discover its Skulltimate Secrets. That would have been better if I didn't mess that up. Let me try again.
Okay.
Skulltimate Secrets. Is that better?
I mean, it fits right in with all the other puns that they do. Like, you know. All right, so I'll get to those in a minute. So Monster High Skulltimate Secrets is based on the very popular, it initially started off as a bunch of dolls, but there's cartoon shows, there's books, there's comics, there is a live action movie that you can watch if you've got Paramount Plus.
Really?
I think there's a couple movies, actually.
No, there's animated movies, but they a did live make a
action one.
They made a live action one that you can watch on Paramount Plus. It was like a Nickelodeon TV movie.
I think there's two live action movies actually.
All right, as we now race to find out how many Monster High live action movies are there. Live action. Oh, what? There's going to be a third one?
Yeah.
What the heck? This is okay. All right.
Yeah, Monster High, the movie, Monster High 2.
Yeah, apparently the second one ends with the Grim Reaper showing up. Oh, spoilers. Sorry. Anywho. So apparently there's maybe a third one. All right. Well, more do you know. So you are this new student to Monster High, and you can choose what kind of creature you're going to be. Are you going to be a mummy? Are you going to be a werewolf? I think they're called werecats. I'm not sure, but you can be a vampire. There's like two other different types that you could be. You could choose like how your character looks, like what's their skin color going to be, what are they dressed in initially, and as you keep playing through the game, you can unlock all these different customizations for your character, like hats. You can mess with your nails. You can like essentially all those things that I complained about Barbie last week. This game got that all right, and. So you immediately run into the main characters of Monster High, aka the Boo Crew. And they naturally accept you as one of their own. You're the latest member of the Boo Crew. And you're running around the Monster High campus because there is some sort of unnatural magic that comes around like every, I think they said it's like every 7 or 8 generations or something like that. It's been going on for forever. But everything's out of whack, and you have to make it right by collecting all of these keys, and only the Boo Crew is able to do it, amazingly enough. But what I was expecting was something more along the lines of, like, the Rainbow High game, even though those are not related properties, and they're definitely not related by companies. It actually, like, once I found out what PeeTunes had worked on before, they actually made the Bratz game, which, I'm not going to lie, I also enjoyed. It's a super chill game. This takes that, and they really upped what you can do in this game. I mean, first off, the campus of this place is huge. You will get lost pretty frequently, and thankfully, there is a map that you can access at any time on your what do they call their phones? Everything is like this, just this, like, it's a ridiculous pun on something, or like a, like they swap out their names for stuff, like instead of Facebook you go on Fearbook, and like it's just bad. All right, so if you can ignore like the bad jokes and bad puns throughout, but yeah, you have this phone which gives you like you can mess with your skills at the time, because you have to have different powers to be able to break through different kinds of ceilings or walls or access stuff. You can change your fashion on the fly, which I thought was kind of cool. Like you can change what quest you're actually working on, and the map itself is pretty robust with showing what you need. And even if you still need a little bit of extra help, the game does have like a hint that sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Within the last 48 hours, it seems like it's been working a lot better than it was when I first started playing. So I don't know if they've updated the game since then, but yeah, like as you start exploring the game, it does hold your hand. It gives you like this like training area kind of thing where you have to complete a couple of quests, and granted they're fetch quests, but at least there's platforming in here. Like it's not like you're just running from one end of the map to the other. Like you're actually actively exploring all of these different various areas, like different wings, different like different buildings. There's underground buildings. Like last night, I'm not gonna lie, I lost my mind when I found, like, I accidentally found the old library, because nobody mentions it, nobody ever, like, it's not on any of the maps, and all of a sudden I forget where I was wandering around, and all of a sudden I found this other library, and I was like, "Ooh, this is exciting." But I digress. But yeah, there's a lot of platforming areas, and that's how you pick up all your different powers in this game. And the what's nice about the game is that the platforming is more puzzle-based. There are, like, little enemies that do run around every once in a while, and if you get eaten by them, there are these giant trash cans, and they just spit you out at the last checkpoint that you were at. Like, you can't die, you just keep restarting. And thankfully it's pretty generous with those, and none of the puzzles feel particularly stressful, challenging at times, because, like, you have to be careful with how you're, you know, I mean, it's platform stuff, and so you, like, you have platforms that disappear, or they rotate, or they move, all that kind of stuff, and so there's a lot of planning ahead and watching how exactly the platforms work, so you can get from point A to point B. But yeah, like, this and Ninja Turtles are my favorite Outright games that they released this fall. It's surprisingly well made. I'm glad that this wasn't, like, a simple cash-in. And even if you're not a fan of Monster High and you're just looking for some chill exploration and platforming action, this is honestly a pretty decent game to pick up.
Well, it clocks in at 40. What is your verdict?
I'd honestly recommend it. Like, I was pretty pleased with what I've been playing. I haven't beaten it yet. I'm, like, I think I'm at, like, 750 achievement points out of 1,000.
Nice.
But yeah, like, it zips along at a pretty decent pace, and, you know, if you get lost, there's always the hint thing. But yeah, it's pretty fun.
Cool.
They did a good job.
All right, well, we made it through the episode.
Woo!
And we are done. Oh,
awesome.
Thanks to you two for being here. Thanks to Bree for being here. Thanks to everyone in the audience for chilling with us tonight.
Yeah.
I apologize for my lack of jovialness. Might be a couple episodes until I'm normal again, but I don't know. We'll see.
What should I play
for music?
Well, I can't say the Megas, because otherwise, you know.
Get another... YouTube.
I need to come up with
how about something from Kingdom Hearts Goes Emo.
I've never heard of that, but I love that already.
Out of curiosity, is there any OC Remix Monster High stuff for the various games that they've released?
Are you serious? Like, you think there's something from Monster High on OC Remix?
Dude, way back in the day, there was Sailor Moon stuff on OC Remix. Like, there were
Sailor Moon NES games. That's why. When was the first Monster Hunter or Monster High game to come out?
I don't know. It was probably on the Mega Man, Metroid, Monster High video games. There isn't any.
Monkey Island to Moon Patrol to Mortal Kombat to Mother.
There was a Monster High game back on Xbox 360.
Jeez.
You know, OC Remix focuses on, like, NES, Super NES, Genesis, Game Boy, because, like, new games already sound good.
I mean,
debatable, but sure.
Allegedly.
There we go.
We're going to go with Kingdom Hearts Goes Emo.
Okay.
That sounds good. I want to hear that. That sounds funny.
Any final words?
Crud.
Kitty cats go meow.
Kitty cats go meow. Come on, Joe. You're supposed to do, like, barbershop quartet. Oh, wait, there's only three of us.
Proud of you.
Something strange.